Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In Galatians 6, verses 13 through 15, we find the Apostle Paul is contrasting false religion with true religion. False religion, which he tells us in verse 13, encourages hypocrisy and pride, in contrast with true religion in verse 14, which promotes humility and, according to verse 15, requires divine power. He promotes humility. Paul said this in verse 14, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And we see how true religion, that is biblical Christianity, promotes humility. Number one, because it forbids human boasting. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid. That's the kind of language that Paul used for things which we ought not do. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No. That's the kind of language that speaks of those things which are foreign, totally foreign to true biblical Christianity. And so, God forbid that I should boast in anything except the cross of Christ is a way of saying that true Christianity does not promote boasting about anything except about Christ. True Christianity promotes humility because, number one, it forbids human boasting. We just need to learn that. It's not going to be an easy lesson for us to learn. And we're going to find times all throughout our lifetime when the flesh is going to rise up and say, pay attention to me. Let me draw attention to myself. Let me promote myself. Let me tell other people what a great job I've done. What good things I have accomplished. What great talents I have exercised. What great accomplishments I have achieved. And our flesh is going to rise up and want to boast in either direct or indirect ways. Sometimes we're too savvy than to boast outright, but we will fish for compliments and find ways to try to draw attention to ourselves in more subtle means. But true Christianity promotes humility by, number one, forbidding boasting, and number two, by embracing humbling truth, such as, and probably the greatest humbling truth, the cross of Christ. God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of Christ. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about that on the broadcast yesterday, how that when we really focus upon what that cross meant, not the pretty piece of silver or gold jewelry that we generally see as crosses around people's necks and so forth, but what that cross really meant to that first century world that was familiar with Roman crucifixions, it meant shame. It meant humiliation. It meant pain. And that's what the cross is all about. And when we embrace the cross of Christ, we are embracing shame and pain and humiliation. Now that doesn't set well with our Adamic nature, but it sure promotes humility. Biblical Christianity promotes humility, number three, because it exalts Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It exalts Jesus Christ, His person, His work, His worth. That's what we should boast about. What did Paul see in the cross of Christ? He saw, first of all, a mirror of his own unworthiness. He saw in the cross of Christ that he deserved to be on that cross. You know, that's one of the hardest things in all the world for the human flesh, the human psyche, to say. It's very hard for a human being to say, I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to hang upon a cross. Everything about us rises up about that, against that, and says, no, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not that bad. But you see, the Bible tells us that we are that bad. Why did Christ hang on the cross? He was hanging there in the sinner's place. He was hanging there because I deserved to hang there. Did you hear that? I deserved to hang there. Or maybe I should say, in the present tense, I deserve to hang there. That's what I deserve. Can you say that? Can you say, I deserve eternal condemnation? I deserve to go to hell. If you can't say that, I don't think you've been humbled by the grace of God. What did Paul see in the cross? He saw a mirror of his own unworthiness. But secondly, he saw a means of his own redemption. That's the only way for sinners to be redeemed. And so, we better not shrink from the cross. What did Paul see in the cross? He saw, thirdly, a magnet that draws men from the whole world. A wondrous beauty I see in that old rugged cross, because it is a means of my redemption, in spite of the humiliation and pain and shame, and it is a magnet that draws men from all over the world. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself. That doesn't mean every individual in all the world, obviously, or else everybody would be saved if all were drawn to the cross of Christ. But it means I will draw people, myriads of people, from all over the world, from every tongue and tribe and nation, if I be lifted up. And that's exactly what has happened. And Paul saw in the cross a magnet that draws people from the whole world to Christ. And what else did Paul see in the cross? He saw a model of humility and self-sacrifice. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. You should think of each of these as a further level in humiliation. Made himself of no reputation, step one. Paul didn't start, of course, with the first step, which was the act of the incarnation itself, which is really, I suppose, step one. But what kind of an incarnation? Did he come as a king with a worldwide reputation for people to applaud and laud and bow down to? No, he made himself of no reputation, stepped down again, and took upon him the form of a servant, a slave. That's even worse. It's one thing to be a humble free man, but it's another thing to take upon you the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was the model of humility and sacrifice, self-sacrifice. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wow. We're talking about what true biblical Christianity does. It humbles us. It promotes humility, not pride. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. How did Paul boast in the cross? Well, he did so, first of all, by surrendering himself to the Christ who was crucified. That's the way that he boasted or gloried, is maybe a better translation of that word, gloried in the cross of Christ. He surrendered himself to the Christ who was crucified upon that cross. And thus he glorified the cross in his thinking. Number two, by seeking the power of the risen Christ for his life. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So he sought the power of the risen Christ for his life, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, he tells us in Philippians. How did Paul glory in the cross? Number three, by proclaiming Christ crucified to the world. The crucified and risen Savior he proclaimed to men far and wide, and that way he gloried in the cross of Christ. How did Paul glory in the cross of Christ? By defending the cross from every attack. That's what this book of Galatians is all about. And so true Christianity promotes humility because it forbids human boasting. It promotes humility because it embraces humbling truth. It promotes humility because it exalts Jesus Christ. It promotes humility because it renounces worldly values. And what is worldliness? What is the world? It's anything that competes with Christ and heavenly values, eternal values, godly values, spiritual values. Anything that is contrary to that, anything that competes with that, is worldly. And Paul was so transformed by the cross of Christ that it caused him to renounce worldly values. He no longer valued the things of this world. He no longer valued the reputation of this world. He no longer valued the religions of this world as he once had. But worldly values, he says, were slain to me. Riches and honor and fame and pleasure and ease, they meant nothing to me. I wasn't going to give my life for those things anymore. Paul died to worldly esteem. The world no longer esteemed Paul. It no longer honored him, not the world. It had, before he came to Christ, before Christ claimed him, before he surrendered to Christ, Paul was highly acclaimed by the world, and he was well on the road to riches and honor and fame and pleasure and ease because of his achievements in Pharisaism. But when he came to terms with the cross of Christ, he died to worldly values. He died to worldly esteem. Let's see, who was it? Was it Agrippa that said of Paul, "Paul, much learning has made you mad. You've gone crazy about this thing." But Paul was just living out a consistent Christian life. The problem is, very few Christians are as consistent as Paul in truly living what we say we believe. But Paul said, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And he meant it. He meant it. One old Bible teacher of years gone by said, "The smiles of the world are more dangerous than its frowns." We shrink from the frowns of the world. Nobody likes to be disliked. Nobody likes to be mocked. Nobody likes to be made fun of. Nobody likes to be scorned or disdained. We don't like the frowns of the world, and that causes some Christians to compromise, to lower their colors, to fail to let people know that they honor the Lord Jesus Christ. But that man was right. The smiles of the world are more dangerous than its frowns. The frowns cause us to take refuge in Christ. The smiles of the world often cause us to pull away from Christ and to snuggle up to the world. But true religion will teach us the humility that will enable us to renounce all the things of this world and to glory only in the cross of Christ. Do you have that kind of Christianity? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.